collective mind's ready.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point, calling with your new point. From head to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers. But the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
Collective mind.
It is what it is.
Yeah, peace, family. This is Brother Kev.
And this is your girl, Rigel.
Hotep, Aslamu Alaikum, Habarigani, this is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds, back for another powerful show, powerful dialogue. We are about to get it in. We do have a special guest coming. But as always on Collective Minds, before we get started, my sister Rigel Starr, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
It was great. My week was great. I always try to have a great day, a great week, a great life. And no big announcements. Just want to remind everybody that we have voting coming up, the 6th coming up. So just want to encourage everybody to vote if you vote. I know I have had conversations with some people that do not, but if you vote, go out and support for your candidates, whoever you want to vote for. And that's all the announcements I have, Brother Kevin.
All right, indeed. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, and you got any announcements for the people?
Mufasa Ra,
you there, brother? Well, let me just let the family know that we do have a special guest in the building. He'll be coming up here shortly. Give us a call here at Collective Minds. This is not
a
spectator. We like to hear, we like to hear from the family, get everybody's opinion on everything that we're talking about, discussions, solutions, anything that could help empower the community. So give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. All right, my brother Mufasa, you got any announcements for us? And how was your week, brother?
Hey, you know, the week was good up until the point when I heard about fellow comrade Melissa McKinney's and what happened with her son. If you guys didn't know, Melissa McKinney's is a protester here in the Ferguson, St. Louis area, activist standing up, fighting for the rights of the people. Her son was found hanging in her backyard. I believe it was October the 17th. And so I want to send my condolences to her and her family. I haven't been able to reach her personally yet, but I hope to soon. And just to remind everyone that's fighting for righteousness and fighting for the rights and the liberation of black people that we have to watch each other's back and be prepared for things like this. We are under attack, and we have to keep that in mind, that it is wicked people out here that will do us harm. So you can't take that lightly. We have to watch each other's back. So, again, condolences to her and her family, and hopefully we can get in touch with her soon to speak with her.
Yes, indeed. Definitely condolences to the mother and to the family. That was a tragic event. We know how the police do. They're going to try to just rule it a suicide, put the case in the drawer and lock it up and just forget about it. But, you know, as long as we stay diligent, the truth will always come forth. So, I just want to real quick just shout out all the Scorpios. It's Scorpio season. The sun is in Scorpio. So peace to all the family. The Scorpios, Before we bring in our guest again, family, we have a very special guest coming on in a little bit. But before we get into the guest, we do have voting coming up Tuesday. So I want to give the Collective Minds family an opportunity to answer two questions that I have. Number one, are you voting? And number two, do you think voting is a good option for black people in 2018, moving forward to 2019? Rigel Starr, I'll let you answer first, and then we'll move to Mufasa.
Okay, most people who know me know that I'm not a big voter. I have nothing against it. I totally understand the history and the purpose and the meaning behind voting and what happened to our ancestors and a lot of people that had died. I totally respect that. I have voted before. I do plan on voting for the 6th. I do. I plan on it. Do I think it's something that's – what was the second question? Do you think it's something that's relevant for now?
Do you think it's a useful tool for black people to vote? Do you think it's helpful?
Yeah.
Do you think it, helps black people if we get out and vote?
Yeah, I do think it's a useful tool. It's a tool, which is a good word to describe it, because a tool can be used for our good and it can be used for our bad. But I do think it is a good tool if we use it correctly and everybody have a full understanding of it. So I would never encourage people not to vote. But really not a but. I won't encourage people to do it. I say vote if you want to vote. I do think it is useful. I'm just not that, I don't have a whole lot of opinions when it comes to voting for myself personally. I just put it like that. I can vote or not vote and still be okay.
Okay, got you. But you plan on voting this Tuesday?
Yeah, I do plan on it. It's,
okay.
It's in my spirit to do so. So I'm usually guided by that. So if something is heavy in my spirit to do it, I do try to follow that. So I am considering that. So yeah.
Okay. There you go. Brother Mufasa, now, are you voting Tuesday? And do you think voting is a good solution for black people? Do you think black people should exercise their right to vote, or how do you feel about the whole thing?
I 100% plan on voting. The only thing that'll stop me is if something, I get distracted, I get caught up some type of way, but I 100% plan on voting. I vote every time, every opportunity I can, because I had a choice. And because I had a choice to vote, I'm exercising it. It's my right. I choose to vote. And just like Sister Rigel, I would never discourage anyone from voting. You know what I'm saying? I believe it is a tool as well. You know, we should use every tool, every weapon, everything at our disposal to uplift ourselves. So, yes, I plan on voting. I will definitely be out there. And I recommend everybody vote, especially on the local level.
That's right. All politics are local, as they say. And as for me, Brother Kev, I'm actually undecided if I'm going to vote in this election that's coming up Tuesday. And the reason why is because I'm asking myself, what am I voting for? You see, what is the black agenda? And from what I can see, I don't think any of these candidates. So I'm here in Missouri. There's a big Senate race here in Missouri between Claire McCaskill, who's a Democrat, and then she's running against a Republican. It slips my name now. But that's part of the big race for the Republicans to maintain control of the House and the Senate. So this is the big thing, and they're trying to galvanize the black vote to get black people to vote Democratic so the Republicans don't maintain control of the House and the Senate. Also, you have a big race in Georgia. There's a sister that's running named Stacey Abrams. She's running for governor in Georgia against the Republican. And then in Florida, you also have a big governor, gubernatorial race, as they call it, with a brother named Andrew Gillum is running for governor in Florida. So my thing is this, okay, we black people have been in a position for a long time where we've had black faces in these political offices, whether it's mayor, alderman, you know, we had a few governors here and there. But my thing is they never have a black agenda, right? It's like we scared to come forth and put down a black agenda, not an agenda for people of color, not an agenda for minorities, but a specific agenda for black people. Because when it comes to these other groups, we talk about Hispanics, LGBTQ, all these have these groups have specific agendas catered to them. So my thing is, black people, we have to come forth with an agenda. And if we're going to have a black candidate, they need to have a specific black agenda that caters to us, because by the numbers, our communities are the ones that are most in need. You know, you can just look at any other number. So, therefore, I think we should have a specific agenda that speaks the language specifically to the black community, policy specifically, and that directly affect the black community. And we cannot be scared to say that, thinking that we're going to upset white people or they're going to get mad or not support us or whatever. We have to speak truth to power in any instance, okay? This is what we have to do. So my thing with the voting is, because I don't see a specific black agenda, I'm really not sure what I'm voting for. Now, here in Missouri, we have a few things on the ballot as far as medical marijuana and redistricting and candidates getting payments and things like that with Amendment 1, 2, and 3. So those things may push me to go out and vote. But I'm just asking a family, like, we need to stop falling for the trick between these Democrats and Republicans, because there's a policy in place, which is still in place, called the benign neglect. Benign neglect, which means candidates are not, they're not speaking specifically on black issues. They feel like if we just ignore it and don't say anything and use these other terms like people of color, minorities, you know, the poor, these vague type of terms, that we can ignore the black agenda. You see what I'm saying? So we got to get off that. We have to make them get off that. And we have to come with a black agenda, you see. So, yeah, that's my only thing. But I'm going to just leave it right there. If you're going to go out and vote, make sure you're educated, make sure you do your research, and, you know, make sure you do your due diligence before you just go out and cast your vote. Okay. I heard somebody slip in. Who is that, Brother Mufasa?
Yeah, I just said, well said, brother. Well said.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to leave that right there, y'all family. Again, this is Collective Minds Radio. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We are about to bring in our special guest, Brother RZA is.
Oh, yes, brother. Yes, peace, family. I love the effects.
Indeed. Thank you. I want to first welcome you. This is Brother Kev. Want to thank you for coming to the show. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is a platform that you can always use to, you know, get your views out. And I'm looking forward to this build. Before we get started, just for the listeners who may have not heard about your brother RZA Islam, just give us some background or anything you would like the people to know before we get into the conversation.
Yes, sir. Well, first I would like to thank each and every one of you on this show for being dedicated to the rise and the upliftment of our people as a whole. That includes, of course, all of the original Aboriginal, Asiatic, Indigenous, or what have you people across this planet, because there are not many of us who are doing the work, though many of us are doing a lot of talking. So I definitely appreciate you for being on the ground and really doing this work. That's the first thing. Secondly, I, of course, am Brother Reza Islam. I am a representative of the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam, a humanitarian activist, and just a brother who has been in the work of simply doing my part to help the people in as many ways as I can by bringing as many solutions as I can in as little time as possible. Seeing how the enemy is coming at us in every way possible, we need to find every avenue with which to get out of the trap that the enemy is laying for us. So I've been doing this since I was about 12 years old, and everything from helping to unite the Bloods and Crips from L.A. all the way to Boston and across to New York and all the different hoods and gangs across the country to exposing the connection between autism through the MMR vaccine, hepatitis B, and others. That came to me through certain Caucasian scientists who couldn't get it to any other black group because all of the black groups that they went to literally refused and did not want to take it because they were, you know, sponsored by pharmaceuticals, and many of them were afraid because they knew what would happen if they took it or what they thought. So the nation took it. They came to me. I brought it to the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. He brought it to the world at the 20th year anniversary of the Million Man March in front of over 1 million people again, and that was broadcasted to over 1.3 billion people in over 42 countries, and stood with the Native Americans over at Standing Rock to fight against the pipeline and just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just doing my part as a young brother, young revolutionary, as our ancestors want us all to be, really, just doing what I can to truly expose the enemy and, as I said, bring solutions to our people so that we know that through unity we can get through all of our problems, and our time is now. It is not back then. It is not ahead. It is right now.
That's right. Indeed. Well said, brother. Well said. Again, once again, thank you for sharing some of your Sunday evening with us. Give us a call, family. Again, this is not a spectator sport here over at CMR. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get into the topic, because today's topic is the message to the black man and woman, or the message to today's black man and woman. Okay, that's the topic for today. But before we get into that, Brother RZA, we just got through talking about voting, so I want to give you an opportunity to speak your piece. Are you voting this Tuesday? And what are your overall thoughts on voting for black people?
Oh, yes, that is the question.
That is the question.
You're on the spot, bro. You're on the spot.
Yes, sir. Oh, I was,
let me preface Let me preface you with this, RZA. You got black people going from Democrat to Republican, and then you also have a big sector of black people who's saying they're not going to vote at all. So, you know, give us your response, and how do you feel about, you know, the dynamics in voting that we see today?
Yes, sir. Well, let me go ahead and lay the base of my response with one. It was not Democrats who freed us from slavery in 1865. Those were a Democratic Republic. It was not the Democrats. They were trying to keep slavery in place. That's number one. That's for anyone who has that argument where they say Democrats, we don't like Democrats, or for people who say I want to be a Democrat simply because my family has been a Democrat or because they believe Democrats fought for our freedom. It was not. It was actually the Republicans more so who fought to free the slaves. Just point number one. Point number two, democracy or demos kratis comes from Greek demon, which is the devil-kracy, rule of. So democracy literally does not mean the rule of the people. It means the rule of the devil, supporting the first point. Third point, anyone who is voting has to understand that the Chinese don't care about voting. The Italians, for the majority, don't care about voting. The Jewish community, actually, for the majority, does not care about voting because voting does not change virtually anything. It is the money, the economic power behind an agenda of the group that changes their condition. So if you want to change the condition as black people, I believe it was you, I heard one of the brothers speaking, and you said beautifully that we need an agenda to put forth. That is the number one key, and what is right behind that or to support that will be the economic base, the money.
That's
because the politician has to be swayed by the money. The voting is nice. But if you walk up to him or her and say, brother, hey, I voted for you, they'll say, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But if you say, listen, I contributed $5,000, to your campaign, okay, now you have their attention, because they have to bow down to those who have the economic power, who put them in the seat that they are in. It is not the voting, it is the money. So if we want our agenda to be looked at, one, we have to have the agenda, which there are plenty. The Moorish Science Brothers have one. The Panthers have one that came out of the Nation of Islam's agenda. The Nation of Islam, we have an agenda. We can put our agendas together, which they are all very similar, and come up with that, which will work for all of us as a people, about 47 to 50 million of us, between 3,000 by 2,000 continents of the United States, and put forth that to the United States government with, you know, $5 to $10 million, et cetera. We can bring all that money together, boom, and say, this is what we want, this is what we need, and they will meet that agenda because it is the money. The problem is we focus on the voting, but we do not focus on the economics, which actually changes and influences those upon whom we are voting for. So to say all of that, I will not be voting. I will not be voting unless the agenda is put forth and money is put forth to push our agenda. And so I don't think that will be done by Tuesday. I don't think so.
Right.
But if possible, I'm for it. But I am all about actually getting on the ground, because voting is not what helped to get the vaccines exposed. Voting is not what helps to get these police, this police terrorism exposed. It's not voting that does this. It's actually boots on the ground. But when it comes to those who govern us, we have to actually put them in through the money and through our agenda. And until then, I will not be casting a vote. And just a last point on that, for those who argue that our ancestors died for the right to vote, no, our ancestors died, period, simply because they were pushing to be treated as human beings, and they were refused
it is what
that
it is.
Right. That was the
that
right that
right.
they were fighting for, which was to be treated as a human. So they didn't die and said, I'm dying so that you can vote in another slave master. That's not how
indeed.
That went. So let
yes,
us make
indeed.
Sure. But for those who want to exercise the right, you definitely
Facts.
Have the right to do that, and that's fine. But I won't be doing that until we actually push our agenda with economics.
Indeed. Ooh. Yes, indeed. Now, before we get to the call lines, I want to give my host an opportunity to ask Brother Rizzo a question. Once y'all get done, if y'all have any questions for Brother Rizzo, we'll go to the call lines and see what we got with the family. So, Rigel Starr, we'll go to you first, since you are the divine feminine principal on the line.
Right now, I don't
have
any questions, but I do want to thank him for joining us, and we are very honored to have you on. But I don't have any questions. I just want to get right into it with everybody else with the call lines.
All right.
Thank
Brother
you so
Mufasa.
Much.
Yeah, Brother Mufasa, you got any questions for Brother Rizzo Islam?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First off, again, assalamu alaikum to my brother here, my comrade.
Yes, sir.
I'm a brother that is in the midst of processing, so that's why I'm calling you my comrade, brother. I really appreciate
beautiful.
You taking
yes, sir.
The time. Yes, sir. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on with us. My first question to you, I'm going to go to message to the black man, because I know we're talking about message to today's black man and woman, but I want to see if some of this stuff is still relevant to you moving forward.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, if you could touch on some of these things. So it's a section in there called Original Man, and under the title of Know Thyself, where it reads, it is knowledge of self that the so-called, I emphasize, so-called Negroes lack, which keep them from enjoying freedom, justice, and equality. This belongs to them divinely as much as it does to other nations of the earth. In your opinion, is that still relevant in this? The way we read that today, moving forward, do you agree with
Absolutely.
That with that statement?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. You will never be able to move forward if you do not know what was nor what is, because you will be ill prepared for what is yet to come. So the reason why the Jewish community can move forward is because they know who they were, they also know whose legacy they stole. And then they know how to use what they stole knowledge-wise with which to help to propel themselves into the future. The Chinese know who they are, who they were. The Italians know who they are, who they were. They have knowledge of self. They know their language. They know their culture. They know their religion. They know their God. They know their folkways. They know their mores, their traditions. So they're able to move solidly forward without any doubts, without any reservations, without any question. But black people are the only ones who can be easily swayed, moved, influenced to go left or right, Democrat, Republican, et cetera, and not have any direction because you do not have your moral compass, your knowledge of self-compass, or your internal spiritual GPS system. You have to have it all put inside of you so that you know exactly where you were, so that you know exactly where you are going.
Hey, great, great. Do I have time for one more question, y'all?
Yes, sir, and then we'll get to the call lines, but proceed with your question, my brother.
Okay, part two to this, or what my second question is, there's another section in there that says, help self before helping others. And it reads, many of my people, the so-called Negroes, say we should help the nations of Africa, which are awakening. This has been said as if we owned America. Who is independent, the nations of Africa, or we? And it goes on to say that we should be asking those independent nations of Africa to help us out. How do you feel about that statement?
That is 100% absolutely correct. And this is why we love the most honorable Elijah Muhammad so much, because his words were as absolutely applicable then as they are now. We are not an independent nation. We are totally dependent, but we are rising in our knowledge of self. We are regaining certain traditions, certain parts of our culture. We are speaking some of the old-time religious language. We're getting some of these things back. However, we are still dependent agriculturally, we are dependent educationally, we are dependent for transportation, we are dependent economically. We are totally dependent on this system, so the nations of Africa, for the majority, are not totally dependent on the IMF. They're not dependent on America. They are dependent on their own nation and resources, so they are far more stable. And I believe Ghana just released a statement where they said that they are going to give those within America, the blacks in America, free passports and free dual citizenship, from my understanding, in Ghana. And also Brother Julius Malema in South Africa extended aid and help to those of us in America who want to come to South Africa. He said we should go and help them in America, our brothers who are being murdered by police or having police terrorism rain down upon them. So the nations actually do want to help us, but they can only help us because they are far more established than we are.
Indeed.
All right,
I'll
get
to the call line. Yes, sir. Now, just to add some context.
It is what it is.
For the families, just to put everything in perspective, the U.S. population, according to their numbers, is about 330 million people, roughly. The black population, we're about 50 million strong in this country. And then it breaks down to about 200,000 for the whites, about 85,000 for Hispanic and Latino. So just to give you the numbers, the black population in America is about 50 million strong. So we are a strong nation, and that is evident in the dollars and that we spend as a group. So just keep that in mind just to add context to that. Let's get to the call lines. Roger Starr, if you want to take the first caller.
Okay, let's go to area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Hey, good evening, everyone. Yeah, I have a question. I have two, actually, for the guests.
Indeed.
I'd like to know, is there a message for the invisible black man? The black man who's mixed with so much white that you can't tell that he's black anymore, but he is black. What's the message to those men and women?
The message, I would say, and very good question. I actually received a question like that last night dealing with that. And they said, it was a light-skinned brother. He said, man, I'm so light, you know, you can't tell I'm black, but I'm a brother. I said, well, the greatest thing that you can do as one who is a black person, but as you said, who is so light to where you can't tell that you're a black, is to be the greatest example of both sides of yourself. So if you are part white and part black, your job is to not fall into the insane, dogmatic, dividing division, you know, and the fighting that happens between the black and white. Your job is to bring responsibility to the whites who are irresponsible, bring education, knowledge of self, and empowerment to the black side of yourself. And then you are the one to bridge that gap so that there can be responsibility taken on both sides so that we can actually go into a state of unity within our own people. And so those who are Caucasian who do want to help, they can, but they first must take responsibility for what has been done. So that it's to be the example of both sides.
Facts. Yes, I'm hearing some background noise that somebody can mute their line if they're not speaking. Thank you for that answer, RZA, Islam.
Yes, sir.
Caller, did you want to go with your second question? And then we'll get to another caller.
Yes, my second question is, what is your opinion of Dr. Ben Carson?
Oh, number one. My opinion of Dr. Ben Carson, I'd say from the outset, meaning from the beginning, it was definitely meaning his story in the beginning about him being the doctor who did surgery on, I believe, the twins who were joined at the head. From my understanding, he's the one who conducted the surgery to separate them, and they're still alive. You know, certain things that he accomplished in his career were inspiring. However, politically, once he stepped into that realm, many of the things that he has said have demonstrated that he is not entirely for us as a people. He speaks for American people that are not considered black. So he will speak for Americans, which is not black people. He won't say black people. He will say Americans. So therefore, he is not focusing on who he is as a person, and therefore it is negating and invalidating the fact of what it is that is occurring with us directly. Thirdly, as far as my opinion of him, my opinion is that he is not strong. My opinion is he does not speak for us, once again, as a people. My other opinion on that is that he cannot give us what it is that we need. I know he is still in politics, but he definitely is not a strong black man. He will not be a strong black leader for none of us. And so, therefore, I don't really focus too much on him because he doesn't do much for us as a people at all. That's just my personal opinion, and that's from what I see of his experience and from what this demonstrating in his results. He hasn't really done much. So, therefore, I just lump him in that area of Uncle Tom's to a degree. Accomplished black man to a degree, and overall not a leader, but just one of those black men who we can no longer look up to in any way, form, or fashion.
Indeed. Well said. Thank you, caller, for your questions. If you're just joining this family, this is Collective Minds Radio. This is Brother Kev. We have Rigel Starr, Mufasa Rai, and we are joined by special
guest. It is what it
is. RZA Islam. And, we want to go to the call lines. I do have some other questions for the brother, but we'll get to the call lines first, get a family opportunity to build with the brother. Rigel, you want to go to call lines?
Okay, area code 601-867. Call you on with Collective Minds. You have a question or a comment?
I don't have a question or anything. I'm just soaking in all the knowledge, everything that's been expressed today. And I thank you for allowing me to speak. So just keep up the good work.
Indeed. Okay. Thank you.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Now, I guess I'll go ahead and ask a question. Now, my brother Mufasa just read from Message to the Black Man in America from Elijah Muhammad, which was published in 1965. Now, here we are 53 years later, in 2018, heading into 2019, and we're talking about the message to today's black man and woman. Now, one of the strongest messages in the book is separation. Now, from my perspective, realistically, I think mental separation is more doable, but I'm trying to figure out, like, as far as a physical separation, because my thing is, I believe white supremacy is a global structure. You see what I'm saying? So I'm trying to figure out, how do we separate in today's climate, being how the world is, you know, how the world is structured and set up, especially here in America. I just don't see, without a catastrophe happening, America giving up a piece of land, you know, to black folks for us to do our thing. You know, because like they say, power is not given, it's taken. So I guess the question is, when we talk about separation, is that, is the physical separation for black people really realistic in 2018, Brother Islam, Brother RZA?
Beautiful question, brother. Beautiful question. The first thing I would say is, number one, the mental separation. Spiritual has been first. Mental has been second. The mental has been the most difficult because, as you have so eloquently put it, white supremacy is absolutely a global thing. And as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, you can't even escape white supremacy in your own mind. So it is infected the planet. It has infected and affected religion. It has done so in education. It has done so through the food system. It has done so everywhere. So that is true. However, the Chinese are separated but equal. The Jewish community,
right,
they're separate. They're equal, not necessarily, but they have more control than any other demographic within this country. They are virtually the smallest demographic with the most economic control, the most control over the news and media, the most control over education, the most control over how religious activities are conducted within this country and even within other countries, but they are also separate in their own territories. You have little Armenia, you have little Cambodia, you have little virtually every other demographic of people within every major city, but we do not have a little Africa, we do not have a little, there is a little Ethiopia in LA, but they don't consider it black. They don't consider it us directly. So what I'm saying is it is being demonstrated by others that separation is possible. We simply lack, or should I say lacked in the past because we're getting it back now, organization to organize our $1.2 to $1.3 trillion of spending power, and we lacked our ability to come together with which to just purchase land, but we got it now. Jay Morrison and Sister Ernestine Morrison have just proven that with the Tulsa Real Estate Fund, where they purchased a large building.
Right.
They're purchasing land over there. So it is happening. Beautiful thing is, it is happening. So separation is absolutely possible, but as you said, yes, mentally. It must happen mentally first, which is happening now, but physically it is possible, and it's not a far-fetched, like, okay, we're all going to just all pack up and move out of the country. It is separating into a state and territory of our own, as there is a little China in every major city, as there is a Jewish district in every major city, as there's a little Armenia, little Italy, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be separated into a state or territory within the major cities inside of America. So we will be a nation with a nation because we are already a nation within a nation.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now,
brother,
great answer, brother. Now, yeah,
Brother K, I just want to add something to that real fast. You know, at the end of, when I always talk about the 1974 video that Elijah did, the 1974 Savior's Day, and in that,
yes,
they were talking about the businesses that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad built, restaurants, import stores, bakeries, clothing stores, banking, land development, trucking. I could go on and on, farmland.
Yes, sir.
You know, so this stuff is possible. We just need to get with the program and with the economic blueprint and help our brother get these things accomplished.
Now,
that is
now,
true.
Just
now, that was a great, great answer from both of you brothers. Now, trip off this. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a Jewish community in New York City, I believe, of Hasidic Jews. They control not only the schools and the court system, but they control the hospitals. And
I just thought
that was so profound. I'm like, that's right here in America where these people have total autonomy over what they do and how they govern themselves. So, again, that was just to your point that, yes, it is possible for us to do these things, but we have to demand those things. And like you say, we are in a climate where we're waking up first to get our mental separation. Then we can move forward to those, you know, those physical things and governing ourselves accordingly.
Yes, sir. And,
so,
and let me, if I can just, dovetail just briefly on it, as the brother stated, 1974, where the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's secretary was detailing all the businesses that we had, including, as you mentioned, we had a hospital as well that we were getting with 500 beds at that time.
Oh, wow.
We also had an airport, I believe, in Indiana. Brother, we went that far. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had an airport that was
downtown.
We had boats, and we have boats coming in with our own fish importation, which we have regained now. So currently we have two farms, I believe, working on a third. We have a large one in Georgia. We have our own fish that we import from out of the country. We grow our own fruits and vegetables that we have on our farms. We have our own beans, our own broccoli, orange juice, organic chicken, organic lamb. We have all of that that we provide for our people. We have many businesses. We have grocery stores in certain states. We have barbershops. We have plenty of different businesses, as I said, et cetera. We have multiple schools, Muhammad University of Islam, in different parts of the country. So we have established independence, or should I say reestablished it, because the government wiped it out completely when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad at that time had built up and established a nearly $80 million economic system by 1974. So it was and the government wiped it out, and we, due to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan rebuilding it, literally we have now come back from scratch and to where we now are demonstrating exactly what it is that we have been promoting to our people. We're demonstrating it. So we're not just talking it. We're really walking it.
That's right.
That's right. Indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, let's get to the call lines. Roger, if you're just joining us, family, we are here with our special guest, Brother RZA Islam. It's Collective Minds Radio, Rigel Starr, Brother Mufasa Ra, and I am Brother Kev. Let's get to the call lines, Roger.
Okay, let's go with area code 7.
Go ahead. I'll make the announcement after this call. Go ahead.
Okay. Area code 720-725. Call you on with Collective Minds. You have a question or a comment? Call you there. Okay, let's go to the next one. That's area code 770-557. Call you on with Collective Minds. You have a question or a comment? Okay, maybe they're just missing.
Hello,
I'm
here.
Oh, there you go. Indeed, thank you for calling, caller. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Sure. Actually, I wasn't sure that calling in requested a question, so I'll just ask one. I actually was having this conversation with somebody today, and what I like to see mainly in social media is more positive circulation of people doing well, and with the police brutality, with a lot of things going on, with our people being put down, I feel like when we continue to circulate those things on social media and, look at what the community is doing, look at what the cops are doing, look at all of these things, I feel like we should definitely focus more so on, our people graduating college and becoming doctors and, there was other things. Like, I feel like we should more so uplift our community than talk about all of the hate and all of the other things that have been going on. So I really want to know, what can the people who want to focus on a better tomorrow do for everyone who's kind of focusing on the negative things? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
beautiful, yeah.
That makes sense. Brother Islam, yep.
Yes, thank you, sister, for that very beautiful question, and I absolutely agree with your sentiment. I agree completely and wholeheartedly with what you are talking about, and the answer to that is, one, get involved and start to spread it yourself, because it starts with you and each and every person to share it, to get it out there, and myself as well included. All of us have to continue to share more. The problem is that there is so much negative because there are too many people not doing positive things and not spreading the positive that is being done. So with all the positive going on in the world, what is being shared is the negative, as you have said. So we have to do more of spreading the positive, but we cannot negate the negative that does exist, because as a result of sharing a lot of these different things, many of the police officers have been fired, many of the people have been caught, many of the murderers have been prosecuted and locked up because strictly from social media, catching the people, finding out the names, finding out, their faces and where they work and their badge numbers, et cetera. So now social media has turned into that tool that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said we can use it as if we use it wisely. So now it's more so not just complaining about what's happening. It's, okay, look, this happened. This is who it was. Family, find out where this officer is from, or find out his badge number, what is this person's name, et cetera, so we can find them, get them fired, get them prosecuted, sued, et cetera. So now it's being used as a tool to actually proactively help us to gain justice, is what I've noticed. So it's a double-sided sword there. So we have to do the spreading of positivity ourselves, but we also have to use the negative images and whatever we're seeing to actually bring those people to justice who are within the videos and the photos, et cetera. So, but yes, I definitely agree we should do more spreading of positive videos if we can, do as much as we can, but we mainly need to get out and actually do the work ourselves so that we can show that positivity and show that we're out spreading it and creating and causing the positivity as well.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Carla, for that call. Thank you for listening and your support. Now, we want to bring in a special guest here real quick, RZA. We have someone who's a local politician, if you will. She's the St. Louis license collector. Mavis Townsend, are you with us?
I am with you. How's everybody? God bless you.
Oh, shoot. We are doing well. How are you?
That's Mavis Townsend.
I am running around. I am just leaving to get out the vote rally for our Senator Claire McCaskey.
Okay, so we want to give you opportunity to let the family know why they should get out and vote this Tuesday. And we'll continue with our special guest, RZA Islam. Or if you had a question for him, you can ask him a question. But let the family know if or why they should get out and vote Tuesday.
Well, the whole thing is about, I'm going to put it this way. Are we sick and tired of divisive politics? Are we sick and tired of all the hate mongering? Are we sick and tired of all of the fear tactics that are going on out there? Are we sick and tired of all of the voter suppression laws? If we are sick and tired of everything that I said, then we need to get out and vote. Sitting around our coffee tables, in the kitchen, wherever, and just talking among ourselves is good, but we have to turn that voter registration, voter participation out to voting. And so we actually not only need to bring ourselves to the polls to vote and vote your conscience. It's the only time that we are equal in the world with anybody is when we go into that voting booth. And so if we want to make sure that our voices are heard, we have to get out and vote. Not only us, we take our mama, we take our daddy, we take our uncle, we take our sister, we take our brother, we take the or neighbor, so that we can make a difference with voice being heard. It's just like when you have your palm, you got your palm spread out, but we're all divided. But when you ball it up into a fist, that is your vote, and that is your opportunity to get out and be heard. And that's why that we need to get out and vote in this election in particular.
Hey, let me say something to Ms. Thompson right quick. This is Brother Mufasa. I want to thank you for giving us the shout-out at that last event. We really appreciated that, the exposure that you gave us, and we look forward to continuing to work with you in the future. Also,
That's what we do. No problem. You're welcome.
Also, I want to say, I guess that song, Brother RZA Islam, what he said was he doesn't have a problem with voting, but he likes to have an economic program to go along with that, to trump that. So can we give Brother RZA an opportunity to explain that to Mavis he can let her know how?
And how are you, my brother? Before you start speaking, I just want to tell you, I go to a Baptist church, but our 63rd anniversary was just last week, and our guest preacher was Minister Donald Muhammad.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
See,
our minister from the local mosque here.
And I'll tell you just at how at home I am. My father is a Baptist minister, and I was a Baptist youth minister for 8 years. Think
Absolutely.
About that.
Oh, wow.
Minister Donald Muhammad said as well.
Come on now, come on. We family. Yep. That's what we try to tell everybody. We just y'all got an organ. We don't have one in the mosque, but y'all got an organ and the piano. That's all we need.
Right.
So we all family. But thank you for calling in, sister. Thank you so much for all that you do as well in the fight for the liberation of our people. So what I was saying was behind the voting is the economic base with which to gain the actual success of the agenda for any group that has an agenda that's some that they have a want or a need, whether if it's for justice, whether if it's for jobs, whether if it's for land, et cetera. They have an economic base or money that they collectively put up as well as an agenda. So when they serve it to the politician who they want to get voted in, they'll say, listen, we're voting for you. We're also giving you this money to back this agenda. That is the absolute best way to actually get your agenda not only seen, heard, but also listened to, considered, and then implemented. Because all the groups and demographics that get their agendas heard are those who put up an economic base behind it. It's not just the voting, because the voting gets you in, sure, but once you get in, whose agenda are you going to focus on? The person who gave you the votes, or the person who gave you the votes as well as the agenda, as well as the money to contribute to your campaign? You see, that's what has been missing for us as a people. That's the one thing we have lacked to understand, which is it's the money and the organized agenda behind the politician, because many politicians are selected long before they are elected.
Right.
Oh,
and
I love
here,
it.
This is Brother Kev.
It is what it is.
That we need a black agenda on the table.
Mm.
So that goes
for,
you know, Senate candidates, mayors, you know, any type of elected official. We need to be and not be afraid to say, hey, we need a black agenda, because based on the numbers, our communities are the most vulnerable and the most in need, unless I've been misinformed. So I just think you need to, you know. But go ahead, Mavis. I'll let you have the last word. Go ahead.
Well, my thing is that I totally agree with the brother, and it's interesting. You know, people always come with their hand out. But all of this, the voting is participatory. And along with it are all the things that you said, my brother, the economic. You know, I'm out here, you know, I'm a citywide elected official in the city of St. Louis. And, I mean, I have $20 fundraisers and people don't come. $20. What
right.
do you do with $20? I mean, you can, you know, you can barely go to the movie for $20. You know, but the thing is, I'm out here struggling, trying to, you know, keep the position so that I can go out and fight for the people. But I wholeheartedly agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree. And before we get, go on to something else, I want to end with talking about the election of the African American judges here in the St. Louis metro area when I have time.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Well, yes, indeed. We'll give you opportunity to speak on that. If you're just joining us, family, we are here with Brother Riza Islam, who is our special guest, and we've also had a call in from St. Louis license collector, Ms. Mavis Thompson. Now, Riza, I do want to ask you, because I do see, you know, you have a huge online presence, and I see that you are with the Paradigm Shifters. So can you give us and I guess tell us what the Paradigm Shifters are about and what type of work do you guys do?
Absolutely. That is a group that has basically come together where we said we are going to unite our efforts, unite our networks, unite our expertise in the different areas to come together and relieve the problems that are happening with our people, primarily through shifting the way we think, shifting the way we spend our money, shifting the way we eat, shifting how we practice what we refer to as our religion or our respective areas of spirituality, and shifting our entire mental framework completely into understanding that, one, we cannot beg others to do for us what we are unwilling to do for ourselves. Two,
amen, brother.
We cannot blame everyone else because they don't fulfill the obligations that we literally can do if we individually and collectively came together and said we can make this happen. Three,
that's
we
right.
cannot rely on everybody to make us food, or if the fast food company shut down today, where would we eat, where we get our food from? We have to grow our own food. We pretty much decided to come together and say we are going to put our egos aside and we're going to use all of our networks to change the minds of our people, starting with the current generation because this is the generation, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, to literally answer all prayers of our ancestors. So we can't do things the same way that things have been getting done, because they have not given us progress, meaning the actions, meaning the same paradigm, meaning the same hamster wheel type of way. So we have to literally get up and be responsible for our communities and make our communities a decent and safe place to live. So that is what the paradigm shifters are.
Thanks.
And we all have our areas of expertise. So that is pretty much what we came together to do, which is change the conditions of our people.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you for that answer. Now, I need one more question, y'all, and I will get out the way. Because here in Missouri, RZA Islam, we have something on the ballot. I think it's Amendment 2 and Amendment 3, and it pertains to medical marijuana as far as taxing
of
that nature. So, yeah, I want to just give us a spiel on your take on medical marijuana, and just go in on, you know, just go in and give us a little bit of the research that you've done on medical marijuana and where it stands from your knowledge and research.
Yes, sir. Now we are about to get a little heated real quick. I'm going to just let everybody know. All right? I'm going to let everybody know.
That's
okay. Bring it. All about
bring it.
All right. Hey, all right. Well, this is what it is. Now, I'll say this because, you know, sometimes you have to give a disclaimer or the, you know, the relation. So I smoke weed from 8 to 9. And I'll say it one more time. From the age of 8 to the age of 9 is when I did mine and I'm done and it's over and that was it. So I got to put that out there so people can know, okay, he's not all the way, you know, non-related. No, I did mine. All right, I'm from Compton. That's what happened. Boom.
We talked about
all right, so once that was done, fast forward to today, something we all need to understand is, number one, the pharmaceutical industry cannot make money unless they have a large amount of sick clientele. Number one. Pharmaceutical industry rakes in more money than virtually any other industry within the United States, with the exception, of course, of with the oil companies, et cetera. But they make money based off of the amount of people who they can manage of their sickness that is created primarily by the pharmaceutical drugs. So I met with one of the advisors to drug policy for the Congress as well as the UN. And this was about 3 years ago, a Caucasian individual. He had a small meeting, and they did a full PowerPoint presentation dealing with what the future of marijuana was going to be. In this PowerPoint presentation, they went over some of the financial ties. They went over some of the medical ties. They went over some of the chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. So the medical marijuana is being legalized now, one, because tobacco is failing. If you look at the statistics dealing with tobacco, they have more lawsuits in Florida. I'll just say in Florida. They have so many lawsuits against cigarettes and tobacco to where they are dying there and across the country. So they had to find their new miracle cash cow, if you would. So weed or marijuana has become the ultimate focus. Why? Because it is one of the only plants that you do not have to force into the black and brown community. It is one of the only plants that you do not have to convince anyone to smoke or be involved with, because it is something that we have been using for thousands of years. And three, it is something that can be used with multiple chemicals at one time to affect specific demographics of people genetically through the DNA. So they are using two chemicals along with others, but I'll just name these two. Atrazine is one. Atrazine, it is a weed killer. It is a chemical that a professor by the name of Tyrone B. Hayes, out here in California, I believe at the University of Berkeley, he discovered that atrazine is highly present in the water but highly present in the medical marijuana that they are using. And that chemical, he studies frogs in particular, and that chemical was changing the gender of the male frogs from male to female, number one.
Wow.
Number two, that's the chemical atrazine.
Yeah,
number
I heard
two,
about
the
that.
Chemical Oh, yes. Oh, and that went everywhere. They tried to blackball him as they normally do. They tried to say all these different things, but they did not call him a liar. All right? Chemical number two is called paraquat. Paraquat, also a weed killer, but that is also another chemical highly present in the medical marijuana that is being dispensed all across the country. Another chemical that attacks the reproductive system, it attacks the brain, et cetera. Now, it's a very pregnant topic when I start going into marijuana, but Those two chemicals alone, if anyone wanted to research those chemicals, will find that they are absolutely not good at all for the human body, but they are pushed in medical marijuana. Why? There is something called the NSSM 200, the National Security Study Memorandum 200, that was authorized by the 32nd Secretary of State, or pardon me, written by the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. His name is Dr. Henry Kissinger, still alive today, where he said,
yes,
quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, end quote. So depopulation, as Hillary Clinton, I believe, in 2015 or 2016 said that was the greatest problem that America was facing, is overpopulation, which was a lie.
Right.
So they have been finding ways to go after the population of people, starting with black and brown melanated, through the food, through the water, through vaccines, et cetera, and, of course, now through medical marijuana. So these chemicals are helping to depopulate by going after the reproductive organs of males and females, but those chemicals that I named, atrazine and paraquat, are in particularly melanin-coated. They have a high affinity for melanin. So they attack black and brown people more than anyone else. So I can go in further and further, but just know that the medical marijuana, or marijuana itself, is being legalized because it is helping to go along with the government agenda, which is depopulation.
Indeed, indeed. So, family, he gave you a lot of information. Like we always say, do your due diligence, do your research.
Facts.
Go back in the archives, look at it, because he just broke it down and gave a lot of information. Like he said, he could have went in some more, but due to time constraints, we're going to leave it there, and you're going to have to pick up the ball and do the extra legwork on the research if you want to get more information on the medical marijuana. And now we are going to go to the call lines, family. If you're just joining us, we're here with Brother Riza Islam. But before we get to the call lines, I want to give our sister Mavis Thompson a chance to talk about the black judges, and then we'll go to the call lines. Mavis, are you there?
Yes, I am. And thank you
okay,
so much.
Okay, go ahead, sis.
With the African-American judges, we're under attack. And so what I'm asking, and just very quickly, is that you do your own research about the African-American judges, like you said. You know, knowledge, you know, bring knowledge to yourself by doing the research. But I'm just going to give you the down. Okay, so in the city we have three African-American judges that are up for retention. You know, we're under the Missouri court plan, which means that our judges don't go out and campaign. They're not elected. They are appointed by the governor after they go through an interview with the judicial commission. And so based upon that, they have to sit for retention. In the city, we have Barbara Peoples, we have Michael Noble, and we also have Paula Bryant that are on the ballot. In the county,
okay,
we have four. Okay. We have Michael Jamerson, David Vincent, Renee Harden-Tannen, as well as Judy Draper. I am just asking people to go ahead and get out and at least vote yes on those African-American judges. We want courtrooms that look like us, that represent our community, and they can't do that if they're not retained. And so go out, retain those African-American judges that are on the ballot.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for
Thanks,
the information
Mavis.
For the family. Thank you,
We appreciate
Mavis
your
confidence.
Energy.
Thank you.
Yes, God bless you guys, and call me anytime, okay?
All right.
Okay,
we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was some great information, too. Family, if you're in the Missouri area, St. Louis City or St. Louis County, she just gave you a list of black judges that are on the ballot this Tuesday. Again, do your research. And, you know, if you're going to vote, at least make an effort to do your research and check out these candidates that are melanated. So we're going to leave it right there and get to some more calls. If you're just joining us again, we're here with Brother Riza Islam. He is dropping some jewels, dropping some information for the family and everyone that you can use moving forward, because that's what we're about, providing solutions for the family. So, Elijah Starr, let's get to the callers, please.
Okay, area code 414-882. Call you on Collective Minds. You have a question or comment?
No, I just got a comment. I just want to say, can y'all hear me well? Because I'm on the freeway right now driving. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Speak up a little bit. Yeah, speak up a little bit.
Okay, I just kind of want to thank you, brother, for doing all the work y'all been doing in the community. Brother RZA, I'm a follower of yours on Instagram, and I just want to let everybody know, I want to bear witness, you know, to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I had my inception of knowledge through the Sunni community, Islam, and for a long time, I denied the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because of what I was told, and you know, I never really had a clear understanding of the reality of God. You know, I always was looking at as God as something outside of myself. And as I studied, and I went further and further back. You know, I even went back to the ancient Egyptians, and I kind of see how they were able to evolve to such a society, you know, with such high civilization, because they never looked at the forces something outside of themselves. They seen the divinity in themselves. And
that's right.
And that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought back to us. He, the Egyptians understood that God or Allah manifested himself in everything. When you get foreigners or invaders or you know, every time the first tactic they would use would be, you know, to call our deities, you know, evil and things like that. But now as I study more, I see that, you know, we have to see the divinity in ourselves, because everything that is in this universe is in us. And us being, you know, melanated people, we have the superior genetics. So I just want to thank you, brothers, for bringing that back to the community, and, you know what I'm saying, being a part of the younger generation who going to stand up and, you know, bear witness to the validity of everything that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought to us. So I just wanted to say thank y'all and keep doing what y'all are doing. Y'all bringing the science, and y'all are getting away from, just mythology and mere belief. That's what brought me to a clear understanding. So I just want to thank y'all.
How old are you, brother? I'm 26.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Message to today's black man and woman. Message to today's black man and woman.
That's right.
That's right.
Brother,
you
know, I'll say this, brother.
Facts. You want to respond to what he said?
Oh, brother, let me, yes, please, brother. Well, first thing I will say, brother, is all praise is due to Allah, meaning we always give credit to the one true and living God, brother, because it comes through us from him. So everything that I got, you have the ability to receive and get and use yourself, each and every one of us. So I appreciate you for just bearing witness, because this is a time where we have to really confess and speak the truth of that which helped us to get to where we are now, brother. So I just appreciate you. And I thank Allah for you for being a strong soldier, and I have thanked each and every one of them for doing the same thing. But this is our time, and we have to represent the nation, represent our minister, our messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and represent all of those who came to resurrect us as a people, from everybody from Garvey, all of our ancestors, brother. Those are who lived through us. I appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely.
Right, indeed. Thank you, caller. We appreciate that. And we appreciate the support, and you listen, and the call that was very profound. Again, the man is under 30, and he's taking in the message and learning every day as he go, it sounds like. So salute to that brother. Let's get to another call, Rigel. We down to the last about 22 minutes of the show. We have Brother RZA Islam. Once again, thank you. But let's get to some other calls here.
Okay, area code 757-725. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment? Call, you have a question or comment? Probably listening.
Let's move
we'll go
on.
To another
you
want to
get another one?
Okay. Yeah, we'll do one more. Area code 984. 989. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment? Area code 984-989. Okay, probably listening.
Okay. Now, here's something that I also wanted to share with Brother RZA Islam, too, right? I was listening to NPR last week, and they were doing a segment where they were interviewing this black woman and her child in Flint, Michigan, you know, talking about the water, how things have been going. They started when the child was six. He's now nine. So they interviewed the mother and the child together, and the interviewer asked her, he was like, well, the son was speaking. The son had said something. He asked his mom, he's like, why are the pipes messed up in Flint, but they not messed up anywhere else, you know? Like, you know, just a normal little innocent question. And she went on, well, she was like, well, it's not just Flint, it's the pipes and the water and this and that. So they removed the son from the interview, and the interviewer asked her, he was like, what would you have told him, you know, if, or what did you really want to tell the child? And she was like, I really wanted to tell him that, you know, they did it on purpose. It was racial. They did it in Flint because it was a majority black community and no one cares. But then she was like, you know what? I didn't want to tell him that because I didn't want him to be racist and I didn't want him to hate white people. So she basically was saying that she didn't want to tell her child the truth because she was afraid of how he would think about white people. And I just sat back and I just thought that was so deep because I'm like, okay, thinking back on my childhood, I think a lot of black parents feel like that, like we're really afraid to tell the truth, which is sad, not a lie. We're afraid to tell our kids the truth because we think, because we're worried about how they will feel about white people or so on and so forth. So I just thought that was real deep. You know what I'm saying? That we are in a position where we cannot even tell our kids the truth because of how they would feel about white people. So my rhetorical question that I was asking to myself, well, if we tell them the truth, why would they hate white people? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to play with this in my mind. It's like, why wouldn't we stand on the truth and tell our kids the truth? And regardless of how they feel, we can guide them, you know, as far as where to place your anger and these type of emotions. But I feel like we're in a position where we're not allowed to express that truthfulness. And that kind of goes back to politics, where we're scared to put a black agenda on the table because we think it may upset some white people. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to put that out there and kind of get your overall thoughts on we're in a position where we have to kind of hold back the truth in order to please another group, so to speak. I don't know if that's making sense, but I want to just get your thoughts on that little segment that I watched on or listened to on NPR.
Yes, sir. Well, the first thing, brother, sad to say, the truth in America is that white comfort has always been more valuable than the life of black people.
There you go. Right.
White comfort.
Facts.
When you are in a nation where a person's comfort is seen as more important, more valuable than the life of your people, you have witnessed a new low in not only the level of self-worth, but self-knowledge, self-esteem, self-everything. So a person doesn't know themselves, so they can absolutely say, well, hell, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for someone else's comfort. Why? Because at least I know that that person knows who they are. I don't know who the hell I am.
Right.
So it's easy for me to sacrifice myself. I'm just a nigga, right? I'm just a nigga. It's all right. They know who they are. No, brother. Let me say this. Too many of our parents in the elder generation, and my mother told me this because I was raised in a nation. I was raised in a nation and then wasn't active for a certain period of time, hence the Baptist church, and then came full circle back into the nation. But my mother told me that she said many of our parents did not have the knowledge of self, and she said some of those who did were afraid to tell it because of what might happen to them. So I understood that to a certain degree. I understood that. But I'll be damned, brother, and I'm going to say it right now. I will not allow no parent in my presence to lie to their child today.
There you go.
Because
you
of
go.
White comfort. That is not
it
how
is what it
will
is.
Go. Not anymore.
Right.
And it has nothing
yes,
to do
sir.
With being racist. If you tell
exactly.
the child the truth, you will be able to explain, listen, I'm not saying all white people are like that, honey,
there
but I'm
go.
Saying these people who have controlled this area, you can specify
you
because not
yes.
all white people are responsible for what happened in Flint, Michigan. Not even the majority, not even a third of them.
Exactly.
So you
exactly.
have to just explain the truth to the child, not be so soft and so unwilling to tell them the truth because they will be raised soft and they will not be able to fulfill the needs and the wants of the people.
That's
we can't
right.
raise a generation of cowards and weak people. This is not how
that's
this
right.
is going to go, brother. And that is why
that's
nowadays
right.
you have so many things happening where you have something called anti-bullying and bullying campaigns. Brother, that was never a problem in the black community. Somebody
exactly.
bullies you, you punch them in their mouth, you come back home, you okay, you lost the fight. Okay, you're going to come home, you're going to fight Johnny, you're going to fight Ray
there
Ray
you
Pookie,
go.
And then
yeah,
you get back
yeah.
and go back and you go beat them up. That's how, see, we handle business. But
yes,
when
sir.
You have this type of, this condition where I don't want to tell them the truth because of this or that, no, you have to tell them the truth, even if it is against yourself and your own comfort because it's not about you.
Yeah,
it is about the
exactly.
future of those who are going to fight for our freedom.
Thanks.
That's right.
Man, well said, brother. I appreciate that. Mm. Now, I know my brother Mufasa had a question. Go ahead, Mufasa.
All right, brother RZA. I got to take you somewhere.
Yes, yes sir.
Okay, you know, we're trying to wake up the mentally and the spiritually dead. And we know that everybody ain't, you know, ain't there yet. So my final question to you is, tell us how do we deal with our brothers and sisters who say stuff like, well, where y'all laying at? And who talk down on our, and who talk down? I ain't gonna mention no names, but they've been saying
mm-hmm.
talking dirt about our
go
about
ahead,
our
man.
Most honorable Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a
mm-hmm.
he is a brother that's been on our show, and that's Brother Young Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your message to these people who are just mentally, spiritually dead, or just maybe misinformed when they say
mm-hmm.
things like, you know, where you laying at, and say stuff like, you know, Elijah Muhammad and Donald Lewis Farrakhan Masons and stuff like that. Just tell
mm-hmm.
us what you got to say to them naysayers, brother.
Oh, yeah, brother. I can handle that very quickly. Number one, there is not one individual on this planet of whom I fear. I'll say that number one. But number
there
two, I will say that the ultimate enemy is not my brother, nor my brothers, nor my sisters. Our ultimate enemy, as the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan tells us, is our ignorance of the enemy. That is our enemy, the true enemy.
There
so
you go,
first, so what I'm going to say here, number one, Young Pharaoh, has his name is very rightly put. Young, meaning it expresses his level of maturity because he is nowhere near, brother. And I'm saying this lovingly because
it is
I have
what it
literally
is.
Posted today dealing with him and his disrespect of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, and him and Sarah Seti threatening us, not just talking wise. We don't mind disagreements, of course, and debate and scholarship. That's what the nation is about. We know that. That's regular. But when you start to threaten and physically say you're going to do
mm-hmm.
this and that physically, and I make sure to listen carefully because if it's metaphorically, okay, fine. But when you physically say, I'm going to physically do this, physically do that, and you say you wish cancer kills Minister Farrakhan, see, when you are so immature,
yeah.
and you know nothing of this work, nothing of this enemy, and you talk as though you have the scholarship, even though you're only regurgitating, literally word for word, things that you've heard other people say, and you are saying these things, and you have no results of no work, no schools, no farms, no businesses, no nothing under your belt. I, brother, will say this, like I said to him over the phone. I said, brother, whenever you have a disagreement, you can call me. This was
mm-hmm.
months ago. I said, if you have disagreements, brother, feel free to call me. I actually reached out to him nearly a year ago so that we could come together and do something for the community. This is before I knew anything about him. Never saw his network, never knew anything like that. And he turned me down, and he said, I don't want to – his agent, I believe, or his assistant, He said, oh, no, I don't want to. She told me, he said that he doesn't want to do anything with us, but he wishes us well. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's fine. I never knew anything about the brother. But then about 2 months after, he then said, I'm going to come after Islam. And he then went in to do videos about the nation. Now, brother, I'm 28. All right, I'm 28. And he is about, I think, 24.
About 25, something like that. 20, yeah.
25. And he started to say all of these things. And I'm glad you brought up the question. I'll make it very quick. He said all these things that were terrible, brother. And I mean, this is not scholarship. It's not about debating the religion. I mean, saying horrific things about the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, all this stuff. And it's like, wait, who is this young dude? Who is this cat? So it's like, okay, listen, if you're not talking about the white man, if you're not talking about the KKK, if you're not talking about the Jews, if you're not talking about the enemy who was coming after all of us, you are now demonstrating that you either directly or indirectly are on the payroll for the FBI, the CIA, or one of these special government forces who work for the United States government, period. I don't give a damn what you say. I don't care what scholarship you think you have. If you are not fighting against this enemy, you are fighting for the enemy. So you can dress it up and say, oh, I'm going to expose the nation or expose this or that. There is no exposing because there is nothing to expose. You can come and see our work. Come and see us. But when we reach out for love and peace and then you return with a sword and start talking, and it's like, okay, what is wrong? What's happening? What's going on, brother? So I'm glad you had him on the show because you can reach out to him and then he can also hear this. I put out a challenge to him today, which he has disqualified himself for a debate because everything he has said has been debunked already. I can debunk all his four-hour presentations in less than 15 minutes, and I kid you not, literally. It is embarrassing. It is an embarrassment that we invest all this time in attacking one another, but we do not want to say a damn thing about this enemy who literally murders us every day. It is a goddamn embarrassment. You are a joke.
It is.
And I don't have time for that.
Really hurtful.
Facts.
It just demonstrates the ignorance, and that's all. So, once again, he's not my enemy. The enemy is my enemy. I know who the enemy is. He ain't the enemy, but he does not have any control nor power over what's going on here in this world.
Right.
So, therefore, we have to rise above that. However, due to the high level of disrespect and the incessant amount of videos where he has literally just disrespected, physically said that he's going to do this and that, threatened, all of it piled up. We haven't said anything for the first video for 2 hours, second video for 2 hours, third video for two.
Yeah.
So at a certain now, it's like, okay, you know what, brother? Now you have two options. Either you issue a formal apology to the Nation of Islam, Minister Farrakhan, the believers, and anyone else who you threatened and disrespected, or two, you see me in the ring because I see he practices Muay Thai and I practice martial arts as well. So this is how we're going to handle
what it is.
As men. So he will see me in the ring or he will issue a formal apology. That is how this will happen because the enemy knows what's going on and I'm going after the enemy. Not
there
him.
You go.
But he needs discipline as we all do.
Spoken
man,
like a
that
mighty
is so...
FOI.
Yes.
Mighty,
yes.
Mighty
brother
FOI.
Is not.
Yes, sir.
Man,
yes, sir.
That is so on code, and we talk about a lot about black codes on here. What you said is so on code. So I'm gonna just repeat what you said and correct me if I'm wrong. You said he is not the enemy, but his ignorance of the enemy is the problem.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, man, that is perfect. And just real quick now, we do have just the last 8 minutes. Now,
talking about
I just want to, real quick, because we're talking about black codes and how black people need to be on the same code, same agenda. So I want to give you the opportunity, if you could just pick one code for black people to follow moving forward from 2018, 19, 20, as we approach 2020, give us one code that you would put out there that black people need to follow, adhere to, live by. I'm going to just give you one, and it's from Elijah's book. My pick for the code would be love thyself, know thyself and love thyself. You know, we can get black people on that page, on that code moving forward. I think that would help us out. So I'm asking you real quick, give us one code that you would put out there that black people should follow moving forward to help liberate ourselves.
Yes, sir. You grab one from the messenger, and I will also grab one from another page of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is our unity is more powerful than an atomic or hydrogen bomb.
There you go. Bam. Boom, drop the bomb. We need the bomb key right there. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Our unity,
indeed,
brother. That's all we need.
Our unity, yes, indeed. We are down to the last 5 minutes. I'm going to just say, Brother RZA Islam, it's been a pleasure. This is Brother Kev from Collective Minds. We thank you. We appreciate you for coming on. We appreciate the work that you do and all the things that you do. You know, I get a last word to my co-host, Rigel Starr and Mufasa Ra. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rigel. Oh, Rigel might be tied up. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Loud and clear, brother.
All right. I'll just say real quick again, brother, thank you for coming on and being a positive, strong representative for the Nation of Islam. I appreciate all the work you do. I am a follower of you on Instagram as well. Peace and blessings to you and the shifters.
Thanks.
I wish you guys the best and continue to do the work for us, brother. We hope to talk to you and be with you again. See you in the battlefield,
yes,
brother.
Yep, and before you go, RZA, if you can give how people can reach you and just give us some final words, and we'll let you get on, brother.
Yes, sir. Definitely an honor to be on the show with you, family. I appreciate you for all that you do, of course, in this fight, because as you brought it up, brother, we are nearly 50 million strong in this country, so we definitely need all hands on deck, as many as we can get with this fight. So you can find me on my website, which is RZAIslam.com. Instagram is @_RZAIslam. Twitter is @IslamRZA. My Facebook is facebook.com/RZAIslam and the number 1. And anything else is pretty much RZA Islam on the internet. So I definitely appreciate your family. And my last words will be, as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said 2 years ago, we can argue over religion after we are free, because
there
we are
go.
Not as of yet. So let us
there
focus on our unity, focus on moving forward, and we will be free. And once we are free, separate, not equal, but separate into our own, we can resume the argument. After that.
Exactly. There you go.
Yes, indeed. Again, brother.
Thanks
thank
again
you
so
much,
RZA, for
yes.
joining us. It was a pleasure.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Thank you, sister.
Yes, and this platform, Collective Minds, is always open for you, brother. If you got anything coming up, anything you want to promote, books, speaking engagements, always
you
can reach out to us, and we got you, bro.
Yes, I definitely appreciate you, family, and thank you again. The show is beautiful, it's powerful, and I appreciate you all again for everything that you're doing. It is definitely needed, and it is absolutely useful, and it is working.
Hey, put
That's
St.
Right,
Louis
indeed.
On y'all tour, brother. Put St. Louis on y'all tour.
Yes,
oh, you already know we down
now,
there.
Derrick Grace is coming. Now, I got an invitation. Derrick Grace, I believe, is part of Paradigm Shifters. There's a secret
mm-hmm.
location where he's doing something, I believe, coming up in a couple weeks. I got to get the official date. Because somebody just sent it to me. But Derrick Grace will be here, family. So tune in to the next show, and I'll have some more information on that.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right.
Thanks to the
call. Radio. Thank you.
Sir.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, family.
Yep. Thank
Continue
you.
Continue to follow us.
See,
Collective
see.
Minds Radio, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of
us. Collective
yeah.
Minds.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point, calling with your new point. Compared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things. We've been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who we been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper.